Well, this past Thursday was the 40th day since Easter Sunday, which is hard to believe. It's been over 6 weeks since Easter Sunday. I feel like it was just last Sunday we were gathered in the park to celebrate. But 40 days after Easter, as you know, probably, the Lord Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand. And we celebrate that together, a handful of us on this past Thursday and all of us today on Sunday morning. And as we read the As we read the account of Jesus' ascension from Acts 1, it's a little puzzling exactly what the ascension was like. Did Jesus ascend slowly or fast like a rocket ship? I had one person ask me yesterday. Did he beam to heaven like Star Trek? Not Star Wars. Thanks. I got a thumbs up in the back for that one. Good. If you're looking for answers to those questions, I do have bad news. I don't know. But there's a lot we can say about the ascension and how it's an important, essential part of God's redemption of his people and of the world. You see, as we celebrate the resurrection, that's one step in the fulfillment of God's promises. But the ascension and the resurrection, and for that matter, Pentecost that we'll celebrate next week, go hand in hand to make up the exaltation of the resurrected Lord Jesus. And so we continue to celebrate Easter during these days between Ascension and Pentecost over the next week. The single event of resurrection, Ascension, Pentecost has three parts that all lock together. And these three parts are at the heart of the Christian faith. So it's fitting that we give them a lot of attention. And we could talk a lot about the implications and reality of the ascension this afternoon. But today I just want us to reflect briefly from our scripture readings and maybe a few other places about the reality of Jesus' ascension as a necessary part of his work as prophet, priest, and king. You may be familiar with those three offices, how Jesus has fulfilled all that the Old Testament roles pointed to. He is the greatest king, the greatest prophet, the greatest priest. And in his ascension to the Father's right hand, he continues to fulfill those roles in the greatest possible way. So let's briefly consider that together. First of all, from Psalm 68, a little later than what we chanted together, in verse 18, we see that Jesus' ascension is necessary for his continued work as prophet. Psalm 68:18 says, "You ascended on high," speaking of the victory that the Messiah wins that we read a little bit about earlier. "You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there." So the Lord Jesus receives these gifts, which if we continue to reflect on that in light of all of Scripture, I think we have to conclude that the gifts the Lord Jesus receives were actually people. Because later on in Ephesians, St. Paul says that he ascended on high, quoting this psalm, but he says he didn't receive gifts. He says he gave gifts to men. And then he goes on to say, these gifts are apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, who equip the saints for the work of ministry, building up the body of Christ. So the point of all this is that before his resurrection, the Lord Jesus spoke a prophetic word, did he not? We can see that all over the Gospels. He speaks as a prophet. But after his resurrection and ascension to the Father's right hand, he sends his word through people. He now speaks a prophetic word through his people. This is not to say that we all have the same knowledge and authority as Jesus, but instead, We continue to hear the prophetic word every time the word of God is read or proclaimed, especially when God's people are gathered together, and especially as it leads us to the Lord's table. This means that the whole church continues the work of Jesus as a prophet. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now he speaks his prophetic word through the church, not just preachers or clergy, but also teachers for both kids and adults, Sunday school teachers, SBH teachers, youth Bible study leaders, parents. Speak the prophetic word of Christ to each other, because the ascended Christ speaks his prophetic word through us, his church. And to do this, he had to ascend to the Father's right hand. Secondly, the ascension is a necessary part of Jesus' work as a priest. We can see this in our gospel reading, perhaps most clearly. John 17, we have these amazing words in the midst of Jesus' prayer. Jesus says specifically and clearly, "I am praying for them, for us, his church." And that is not a past tense verb. I'm not just basing that on the Greek, so don't worry about that nerdy stuff. It is an ongoing reality. Jesus continues to pray for us. We see this later in the New Testament. In Hebrews 7, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He is the one through whom we have access to the Father, and he is the one who is continually interceding for us at the Father's right hand. He ascended to the Father's right hand, and he continues to pray for us. And this should give us a lot of comfort. The risen Christ, who knows us and loves us, is interceding for us even now. He's pleading for us before the Father. And as we saw also in John 17, he and the Father are one. That means they have one united will. So we can be sure that the prayers of Jesus for us are being answered. This should be and is a great comfort to us. If my sons ask me for something good, my inclination is to say yes. They might not believe me, but if they ask me for good things, I do want to say yes. Now they might ask me for a root beer at 7 a.m. or ask me for things I can't afford, which is a lot of things. But I almost never say no when they ask me for things like a book. Simon knows if he asked me to buy him a book, I'm probably going to buy it. How much more comfort should it be to us to know that our great high priest, who has ascended to the Father's right hand, is interceding for us, so that what we ask of him what we ask of the Father in his name is going to be given to us according to his will. So we can be confident that everything we receive from his hand is good, even when it doesn't feel like it. So Jesus continues his prophetic work as he sends his church to proclaim the word of the gospel. He continues his priestly work as he intercedes for us. And then thirdly, the ascension is a necessary part of Jesus' reign as king. In the reading from Acts, we have the disciples asking Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And as he often does, he doesn't give them a simple yes or no answer, right? Kids, do you notice that? But when people ask Jesus a question, he answers them with a story, or he answers them with some proverb that they don't quite understand. Jesus says, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." So this is getting at the prophetic word that we spoke of. But That sense of receiving power. That's kingdom language, right? A king is one who has power. But power in God's kingdom is different from the kind of power they were expecting. Right? They were expecting a power that would drive the Roman Empire into the Mediterranean Sea. But the power they're given is the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God set up in the lives of his people by the Holy Spirit's work. So we're getting ahead of ourselves toward Pentecost a little bit. That's okay. But the important thing to note is that for Jesus to reign as king, for his kingdom to spread throughout the world through the Holy Spirit who was going to pour out on his people at Pentecost, he had to ascend to the Father's right hand. And just to be clear, he didn't have to ascend to the Father's right hand to win the victory. The victory was already won in his death and resurrected, in his death and resurrection. He went to the Father's right hand to receive his rightful place as king. It's kind of like in the Olympics, the medal ceremony, right? In the medal ceremony, the race is already won. We already know who's getting the gold medal. So in a sense, his ascension was him going to the medal ceremony to receive the gold medal. And there's no silver and bronze medal winner, in case you're trying to figure that out. So don't go too far with the analogy I may or may not have made up right now. The point is, his work as king culminates and continues. Kings sit down and are installed in order to rule. He has sat down at the Father's right hand. He is reigning in glory, and his kingdom is spreading to fill the whole world through his Spirit. Now, as we look forward to next week, as we wait for Pentecost next Sunday, just as the disciples had to wait for the outpouring of the Spirit after Jesus ascended, we're reminded a little bit of this idea of waiting. Again, that we just went through during the Lenten season, that we went through during Advent. Our New Testament reading reminds us of what it's like to live as citizens of Jesus' kingdom who are waiting. The First Peter reading says, "Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." You notice that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The Spirit has been poured out on you. The kingdom power that Jesus promised has been given to us. And so we live as citizens under the King of Kings right now. And this doesn't mean that we get a fancy golden watch or we have a bumper sticker on our car that says "too blessed to be stressed" or something like that. No. It means we're called into an upside-down kingdom where we share in the sufferings of the king as the path to blessing. Jesus ascended to his Father's right hand and sent us his Spirit because of this. Because he poured out his Spirit on us, we can be assured that we are blessed, even in our suffering. So as we wait this week for Pentecost, just as the disciples were waiting for the outpouring of God's Spirit, and we so often have to wait in the Christian life, it may just be another reminder that we wait for our ascended King to return to make all things new. So as we consider ascension, remember that although the Lord Jesus has ascended to the Father's right hand to continue his work as prophet, priest, and king, he has not left us alone. In fact, he continues to invite us into his very presence as we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Just as he walks with us in our suffering, his Spirit is upon us and among us. He calls us to share with him in his glory and his victory. And so we do that as we come and feast at the table with him. Like I said, I don't know exactly what Jesus' ascension looked like. But I am confident that the risen Christ is ruling as king, interceding for us as priest, speaking through his people, a prophetic word sent from God. And because of his work in us and through us, we can celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus as a great cause for hope. So let us look to him with confident hope, knowing that just as surely as he sent his Spirit on his people, he will return to finally and fully make all things new. And while we wait, he invites us to come now to feast with him at his table. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are at the Father's right hand, ruling as King, interceding for us, sending your Spirit upon us, speaking the word through Scripture and through your people. And I pray that we would rest in hope in our ascended King Jesus. We pray it in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.